This morning, I would like to begin by looking at a passage of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, beginning in verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In this epistle that our beloved Apostle Peter wrote, he is encouraging God's children to grow spiritually. Now, we all understand in nature what it means to grow physically. We all love little babies. They're precious and sweet and adorable, and we love seeing them come into this world. But we don't want them to stay babies, do we? We want them to mature and grow up and become responsible young men and women. Well, it's the same in the spiritual realm. You and I need to be growing spiritually. And that's what the Apostle Peter is talking about here. Now, we're very familiar with the Apostle Peter. If you've read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're very familiar with the Apostle Peter. He was one of the 12 apostles. But you probably remember that he stumbled his way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was impulsive. He was quick to speak, slow to hear. He made a lot of mistakes in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was very immature as a disciple of Jesus Christ. But when we come to the book of Acts, we see this man beginning to grow and beginning to become a very responsible apostle in the church. And by the time you get to 1 and 2 Peter, two books that he wrote in the Bible, you see a man that is really full grown in his spiritual life. Now, the reason I bring that up is this: if the Apostle Peter could grow, there's hope for us. Right? If this man could grow spiritually and become a responsible disciple of Christ, then there's hope for all of us. Now, notice what he says beginning in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside. These are things that he is saying we need to lay aside. We need to pull off. What are they? Laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Now, beloved, when we see these characteristics in a little toddler, we don't really get too upset. Malice. Have you ever seen a child with a temper? A brother called me this week, and he was very concerned about his daughter. He said, "Brother Sam, she is sweet most of the time. But every once in a while, she gets so angry with her little brother, she just pitches a fit." And he says, "I'm concerned." Now, she's very little. And I said, "Dear brother, just give it some time. And pray for her and talk to her about her anger issues. But don't shame her. Don't scold her. Just talk to her about it and encourage her that she can overcome it, because she has said she doesn't like the way she is." One time, many years ago, I was at a home and visiting, and there was this little girl got very upset with her mom. I don't know. She was probably 4 or 5 years of age. She got so upset with her mama in the kitchen, she went out the back door and slammed it and said, "I'm leaving and never coming back." Now, do they rush out and call a psychiatrist No, she's a little girl, a toddler. She's got a need to grow, but you don't get too alarmed when you see that in little children. I asked my friend the other day, I said, how long did it take you to teach your daughter to have such a temper? He said, I didn't. She came here with it. Do you know we all get here with sins in our nature? Do y'all understand that? How many of y'all have to teach little kids to lie? They just learn to do it on their own. A pastor one time was talking to a group of children and asked them what a lie was. And a little boy said, it's a very present help in time of trouble. We don't come into this world little angels dipped in sugar. We are the offspring of our moms and dads, and they're not perfect, and we're not. So, you see malice in a little kid, and you don't just really panic. And then, all guile. Peter's saying you need to lay aside all of your guile. Guile is deceit. It's setting a snare for people. Now, let me tell you, children are good at guile, at being deceitful. That's just in our human nature. And then the apostle says we're to lay aside all hypocrisies. Now, children, little children, go around pretending things that are not real. When I was a little boy, I used to pretend that I was riding a horse. Just had a broomstick, but how many of y'all ever did that one? See, when we were children, we had to be very creative. We didn't have store-bought toys. We had to come up with things. I played for hours with a brick bat and pretended it was a bulldozer or a tractor. Now, parents don't panic when their children pretend. A little girl playing with a doll, pretending she's a mama. Do you get upset when little girls pretend that their dolls are real? No, that's understandable and acceptable. But if you saw a grown woman sitting around all day playing with a doll, you might get concerned about her, right? She's to lay that aside, that hypocrisy. A lot of adult people, that is adults according to the calendar, are still hypocrites, pretending to be things they're not. And envyings. Little kids, you put two of them together, you let a little kid visit another kid in their toy room, and let me tell you, you'll soon see kids that hadn't played with anything for days get very defensive if their visitor starts playing with it. They envy things. Adults can do that. And then he says, evil speakings. Little children can learn bad words, and you really need to correct them on that. Now, the Apostle Peter is saying to God's children, you and I, as the children of God, need to lay aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envyings and evil speakings. Lay that aside. That's not commendable in the life of a blood-bought, heaven-bound child of God. We need to lay all that aside. And then notice what he says. As newborn babes, desire something. Desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may what? Grow thereby. The idea is for the little babe to grow, to develop. Right? That's what you want to see children do. Now, I want to say this morning, all of us as God's children need to be desiring the sincere milk of the Word. That helps us to grow. Now, Peter didn't say desire the sincere milk of the Word so that you may be born again. As old Baptists, we understand that life precedes action, right? If you're at the hospital waiting on a baby to be born, and you hear the baby crying, does that say to you now the baby's about to be born? No. Once you hear the crying, you know the baby's already born. Now, if you hear somebody crying out to God in prayer, beloved, they're not trying to get born again. They've already been born again. Life has to precede action. That's why we don't call on people dead in sin to accept Christ so that they can be born again and go to heaven. That's God's work. But once you have been born of the Holy Spirit, as a newborn babe in God's spiritual kingdom, you need to start desiring the sincere milk of the Word. That is the Bible, the Word of God, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is what? Is gracious. How many in this house today have ever tasted that God is gracious? He's full of grace. He abounds in grace. And I have tasted the graciousness of God all my life. And so the apostle says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, then you need to start desiring the sincere milk of the Word. So the apostle Peter, as a new disciple, a convert, he had a great need to grow. But he began to grow as he spent time with Jesus, listening to our Lord and studying the Old Testament. This dear brother, the Apostle Peter, began to grow in grace and in knowledge. Now, I want to turn over this morning to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want to come down to something the Apostle Peter taught us, beginning in verse 5. Listen to what he says in verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. I want to spend some time here this morning with this, and I hope I can have your attention as we look at these wonderful verses before 2 Peter chapter 1. He begins in verse 5 by saying, and beside this. Now, what he has done in verses 1 through 4 is describe what God has done for us. Let me tell you what God has done for us, only God can do. God has saved us by his grace. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He sent his Son into this world to die for us on the cross. And the precious blood that flowed from Calvary washed all our sins away, paid our sin debt in full, and now has made arrangements for us to go to heaven when this life is over. Only God could do that. It's not God plus the preacher, God plus mom and dad, it's God, period. His grace has done all of this. But now the apostle says, beside what God has done for us, there are things that you and I need to be doing. Let's notice what these things are. He said, beside what God has done for us, giving all diligence. What does that mean? That means to give your full attention to this. Be serious about this. Don't just go to church on Sunday morning for a spiritual cup of caffeine. But he's saying, I want you all to give diligence to this every day of your life, giving all diligence. Athletes are diligent about their training. If they're not, they're not going to make it, right? How many of us farmers are diligent about their farming or they're not going to do well? At your job, you need to be diligent at your job or you're probably not going to do very well. Well, when it comes to our spiritual life, we need to be what? Diligent. I saw some of y'all say the word. Y'all are listening. Listen, giving all diligence. How many of us are as diligent about our spiritual life as we are our secular jobs? Or maybe cutting our grass and keeping the house up. Let me tell you, you and I need to be serious about our spiritual life, giving all diligence. Add to your faith. Now, notice the apostle did not say that we are to go out and get faith on our own. Did you know faith is a fruit of the Holy Spirit? People can't just get faith in God on their own. It has to be given to us. The apostle Paul said to the Thessalonians, not all men have faith. But if you are born of the Holy Spirit, beloved, you have faith. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's something God gave you. Now the apostle is going to teach us what we are to do with that faith that God has given us. Add to your faith virtue. Now, virtue has come to mean in our language today moral excellence. That is just living a morally excellent life. But really, the word virtue here in Strong's Concordance, which gives us the definition of the word in the Greek language, which this was written in, the word virtue basically means valor. And valor, it means courage. And if you're going to take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ in this culture that we are in, you're going to have a lot of courage. This is not for sissies. Following Jesus, letting your light shine, being a part of the salt of the earth, standing up for what is right and decent and moral and true in this world, let me tell you, you're going to have courage to do it. I heard this story years ago about a young girl who was carrying her Bible with her all on campus. She was in college. And some of the students were trying to make fun of her as a sissy and a little Christian and all that. And one day she finally gave one of them the Bible and said, how much courage have you got to carry this on campus? See, they laugh at you at school. I know two young men right now, sons of preachers, who came out of college as atheists. They were fine young church members and men, but when they went to the brainwashing schools of our world, they came out denying that there isn't even a God. Let me tell you, education is a good thing, brethren and sisters, but I'm telling you, our academia has fallen on hard times. I'm serious. It's dangerous. When I went to Middle Georgia College, the teacher down there in biology had a Bible and threw it on the table and said, we'll have none of that in here. Now that's a long time ago. That was in, what, 1968? It's gotten a lot worse. A dear friend sent me a text this morning. Yesterday was my 72nd birthday, and she said it's a lot harder being 70. She said it's a lot harder being 20 in the 70s than to being 70 in 2020. Well, I agree. Let me tell you, we are living in a anti-Christian environment. How much have you seen on TV lately that really honored God and Jesus Christ? They're pushing homosexuality at you all the time. They're trying to justify abortion. Have you noticed that everybody who is in favor of abortion has already been born? Come on. If you stand against that in our culture, people will shame you if they can. It's going to take courage in 2020 and 2021 to follow Jesus. It is. Our young people need courage. And let me tell you, courage is something that you and I can add to our faith. And you know what encouragement is? Encouragement is when you pour courage into somebody. How many of y'all are encouragers? How many of y'all just go around deliberately trying to encourage people? Come on now. Come on. Stay with me. How many of y'all every day make up your mind, I'm going to encourage somebody today? See, that's what I'm up here trying to do. I'm trying to encourage all of you. How many of y'all are good at judging people, being critical? How many of y'all are real? You got your doctorate degree in that? Let me tell you what this world needs desperately are people that will go around encouraging our children, encouraging our brothers and sisters, encouraging our aged people. See, I'm getting to that age. I need y'all's encouragement. I'm facing things at 72 I wasn't facing when I was 52. We need encouragement. And you know what it really means to encourage somebody? You pour courage into them. How many of y'all are good at discouraging? Oh. I want to tell you, if you're going to follow Jesus Christ in this world, you're going to have to add to your faith virtue, valor, courage. See, this is spiritual warfare. Let me tell you, when a soldier goes out on the battlefield, or a Marine, I was corrected yesterday, and I hope I don't ever forget it. Marines are not soldiers. They're in a class all their own. If you're going to be a Marine, you're going to have courage. Yesterday I mentioned the memorial in Washington, Iwo Jima. Let me tell you, those young men, they were human beings. I'm sure they felt fear. You know what courage is? It's going ahead in spite of fear. Those young men holding that flagpole up, letting Old Glory wave on that island, that Japanese island. Let me tell you, those men inspire me. It took courage to be a soldier or a Marine or a sailor or an airman in natural warfare. You and I are today involved in spiritual warfare. Do y'all know that? You got an enemy today. And it's not your wife, not your husband, not your parents or your kids or your pastor. Your enemy is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And you and I would be very wise to wake up every morning putting on our spiritual armor. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. Put it on and fight the good fight of faith. And it takes courage. I'm telling you, the many churches in America today are just surrendering to peer pressure. Sad. So you've got to add to your faith what? Valor. Stand up for what is right. In the school, in your community where you work, in the church, add to your faith virtue. And you know, the Apostle Peter needed virtue, didn't he? He needed valor. He needed courage. When they came to him the night Jesus was being crucified, and they brought, and they said, hey, you're one of his followers. What did he do? This man that we're talking about today, that we love so much. You know, in his weakness, he said, no, I don't know who he is. They come a second time and accuse him. And he says, I don't know who he is. They bring a witness who testified that he was one of the disciples. And he cursed and swore and said, I don't know him. There's our beloved apostle weak. And Jesus turned and looked at him. I want to tell you, that was a look he never forgot. Jesus is in the hands of the wicked Roman soldiers. They're beating him, scourging him, mocking him, crowning him with thorns. And Jesus turns and looks at his beloved apostle, who's warming himself on a cold Jerusalem night by a fire that the Roman soldiers had built. And his Savior turns and looks at him while he's in the arms of wicked men. You know, Peter went out and wept bitterly. I want to tell you, the Apostle Peter, not long after he wrote this second epistle, died himself as a martyr. Just a few years later. If you read on in the chapter, he tells them, let's look at that just a moment. He said in verse 12, "Yet wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this body, this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Don't get upset with the preacher when he goes over something he's been over before. Don't expect something new every sermon. The things I'm preaching this morning, my daddy preached at this church from 1935 until he became disabled. Elder Daugherty preached it. I'm sure Elder Connolly preached it. I'm here this morning preaching it. I'm trying to stir up our pure minds by way of what? Remembrance. Now, notice what he says. "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my body, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." And they took this man because of his testimony of Jesus, and they took him out and they wanted to crucify him. And church history says, not the Bible, but church history says that he told them, "No, don't crucify me right side up. I'm not worthy to die like my Savior." They turned him upside down on a Roman cross. You say, "Well, Brother Sam, that's sad. I'm sorry the saints have had to suffer martyrdom through the centuries." And I want to tell you, the blood of the martyrs has been the seed of the church. Do you know anybody in America that's been beaten or imprisoned for their Christian faith? Could it happen? I'd have told you 10 years ago, I don't believe that could ever happen in America. Today, my thinking has changed dramatically. I'm telling you, Satan is on the job. I have seen our culture and our country shift dramatically in my lifetime. More and more secular and anti-Christ and anti-Bible. If you try to pray in school today, you better get ready for some kind of lawsuit. If you try to read a scripture in schools today, you might be setting yourself up for a lawsuit. Beloved, you and I are going to need courage in days to come. A lot of people are going to just bow out and say, "I didn't sign up for this. I don't mind going to church on Sunday morning every once in a while and putting a little money in the plate and maybe singing Amazing Grace, but I didn't sign up to suffer." Well, if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to do some suffering, and it's going to take courage to do it. We're not here playing church, are we? A lot of people do. I understand that. You're going to have courage. And that's what this country needs more than anything else. Christians who are salt and light. They didn't put their light under a basket. They didn't water down their salt. They're real, genuine salt and light. And I would encourage all of you today, add to your faith some virtue. Now, I don't mean to just go out there and be mean-spirited, but I mean to be bold in the faith of our Lord Jesus. Add to your faith virtue. You know, I'm I have a lot of friends in East Africa. A lot of friends. I stay in touch with them through WhatsApp. And they're constantly sending me texts and messages. And Brother Obey, my dear friend from Tanzania that I was blessed to meet, his family, his children, are all faithful Christians. And his twin boys, Gift and Given, are preaching now in Arusha near Mount Kilimanjaro, and they're trying to build a church there. I saw this week where the Muslims are beginning to persecute many Christians in the heart of Africa. And Tanzania and Kenya have been attacked. I tell you, beloved, that religion is dangerous. They say the word Muslim means peace. No, it means submission. What they want is for the whole world to be submissive. Are y'all listening? Come on. And they're having a profound influence in our world. And you and I, by God's grace, can stand for what is right. I tell you, this country was founded on scripture and scriptural principles. How many of y'all believe that? South America was settled by gold diggers. You see what's going on down there now. This country was settled by people looking for freedom to worship like you and I are right now. They left Europe. They tried to get away from the Catholics and the Protestants who were persecuting. And they came here to this land. Got on little boats you wouldn't want to cross a lake on. And they crossed Atlantic and came here. Why? So they could have freedom to worship. And I think I might have shared with you all recently, when I was living in Statesboro, Bogin was our representative in Washington. He was crippled by polio. He walked with a limp. One day when I was in Washington, I went to the congressional building and asked to speak to him. And he came out and acknowledged me as one of the citizens of Bullock County. And he said, he found out I was a pastor, and he said, did they take you to the prayer room? I said, no, I took the tour, but they didn't say a thing about the prayer room. He said, it's the most important room in this building. Are you listening? And abortion was being debated back then. And he wanted me to go down there and have prayer with him. And we did. And on the wall of that little prayer room was a mosaic of George Washington. You know what Washington was doing? He was bowing. In that picture, he was bowing in the snows of Valley Forge. His little army was just about starving to death. They didn't have shoes. The snow, it was the coldest winter on record there at Valley Forge. And this man of God with a little ragtag army facing the greatest army in the world had courage. And he had faith in God. And he bowed down and asked God to help. And I believe with all my heart the only reason that our founding fathers won that war was because of God's divine intervention. And people that were calling on him. How many of y'all agree with that today? Listen, folks. We need to be teaching the history of our country to our children. Because I want to tell you, they didn't kick God out. So it's going to take courage. Add to your faith courage. It doesn't take any courage to go to a beer party on campus. Get involved in all kinds of sexual activity. That doesn't... Nobody's going to laugh at you there. They're going to brag on you. You stand up for what's right. You're going to find out you're in a war. You know what? My time is gone and I've hardly even got started with this. If y'all to come back tonight, I'll try to get into it a little further. There's six things you're to add to your faith. Virtue. Knowledge. Not the kind you get in school. Knowledge of God. Well, we'll get into it later. Do we have a selection, brother? Brother Daugherty used to say, you know, if you'll keep people hungry, they'll come back. So anyway, I hope I've covered enough this morning. If we'll get it, it'll help us. Right? Let's stand together. Do we have a selection, brother? Or do you have one, Brother Don? 156. Let's stand together. And let me tell you, beloved, when I was a teenager, I joined this church, and I got a lot of courage from the folks here by joining. They were encouraging to me as I tried to deal with the challenges of teenage life. It's hard being a teenager. If you're here today and you love the Lord and you want to be stand up for what is right, join this church. I believe this church will help you. Churches are here to help us, not to tear us down.